Good morning, everyone. How are you doing today? Will you stand with us as we open in worship this morning?
Wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this vagabonds. I try with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond.
For a second. So, how are you guys? That's an exciting song. I like that song because I really do thank God for all the things that he's done for us today, all the stuff he's brought us through. But I want to take a little bit of time right now, and we are going to celebrate what the Lord has done for us. Last week was Easter. And we celebrated what Jesus had done for us. And today we're going to be taking communion. My daughter's going to get it right now. But I want to read to you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 today. It says this, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. And he gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Why do we do this? We do this simply because God sent his Son. He died on the cross for us, for our sins. His body was broken and bruised. But at the same time, his blood was spilt so that we could be clean from our sins. Communion is one of those things that I find amazing because it's something that everyone and every church all over the world is doing. Right now, today, many of them are all doing the same thing. They're doing communion, whether it's at this moment or within the same time frame within the day. I just find that very interesting that despite all of our differences, despite all of our distances, despite all of our different diverse people around the world and ways that they live their life and all this other stuff, if you believe in Jesus and you're in a church today and you're coming together, many people are doing this same act, commemorating what Jesus Christ has done for us, the body that has been broken for us, the blood that was spilt for us. And as the Lord commanded, he said for us to come together and do this together. I want to encourage you, if you get a second here, go ahead and get your stuff open and prepare for the communion, because I know that can be a little daunting. Especially if it's like mine. I'm going to get another one. You'll take the bread in your hand. On the night that Christ was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This represents my body, broken for you." He broke his body and gave up himself so that we could avoid the pain of constant and eternal death. If we know Jesus Christ, his body was broken for us so that we can live eternally. If you'll take the bread with me today. That same night, he took the cup. He said, "This is representative of the covenant of my blood." Last week, if you were here, we burned sins on the cross. But the Bible says that his blood is what cleans us. The blood is what was poured over the ark when the sacrifice was made for the sins of the people to atone for us. His blood atones and wipes away all of our sins. So in celebration of what he has done for us, if you will go ahead and drink the cup. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you so much that you have done everything that you can for us. You've done everything that needed to be done in order for us to be saved. You've done everything that needed to be done for us to be able to have a permanent home with you now and into the future, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you have made a way where there seems to have been no other way. And Lord God, as we continue into our service today, I pray that you'd be with us, that you'd be in our worship today, that you would be in the word that is shared today, God. We thank you that you've provided all of that for us. Lord, you are amazing, and we love you. In your name, amen. If you'll stand with us, we're going to continue in worship this morning.
of your name. Jesus, you made his power and the living water floods upon his
rich in mercies, so to anger.
forever. I see a defender, your mighty to deliver. How great is our God. I see a defender, your mighty to deliver. How great is our God.
Fill me.
presence, everything bows before you.
Give it all to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't hesitate to give it to Him. What we have, what you've provided for us, God, that you will remind us today of who you are, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the restorer of families, the repairer of broken things. Lord, I pray that everything that we are will be undone by you, God. And that all that will remain will be you in us, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. You to take a moment to thank God for all that He's brought you through, all the way through to today, and glorify Him for what is to come. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Take a moment and say hi to some folks this morning.
Among the shifting sands of Breaker Rock Beach, there's a rock that stands the test of time. Breaker Rock Beach. Kids will learn to look past the half-truths of the world to see the rock-solid truth of God's Word. Don't miss Lifeway's 2024 VBS, Breaker Rock Beach. Breaker Rock Beach.
I told you all that was going to be a catchy song. Breaker Rock Beach is coming up. Is anyone else excited? Woo! I'm excited. So they talked about, they had on there on the screen a Bible verse, and I wanted to read it to you. Is that okay with you? It is Romans 12:2, and it says this: don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I think that's such an amazing verse to have with our VBS this year. There's been so much going on in the world and in our culture and all this other stuff. And all of our students, even if they're like young, are getting taught these things from the culture or whatever it is. And they need to know that there's a better way. They need to know there's a better way. I think what's crazy is I think all like every generation we've had something that's always happened or some sort of message that's been out there that we all just... we know that it's not right. We know that it's not of the Lord. We know that it's not correct. And, you know, we're putting the whole VBS around this concept this year. You know, we're gonna address real things. And I am so thankful for my wife, who is heading up all this stuff, despite she's in a boot. Stop breaking your foot. And Ms. Dina from the Bears Den, and then all the folks from over there. But we need help. We need volunteers. If you're interested in volunteering, you can actually visit life360.org/Conway, and it does work now. And you can, or you can scan that QR code right there, and it'll take you to a registration page where you can register to be a volunteer. There's also flyers on the back. Also, in addition to that, we need kids. So if you're interested in helping out, be there. If you have kids or know of kids that need some player to go during that week, we're doing it all week. It's going to be from 9 to noon every single day, completely free. And then we have the optional field trip at the end, which is $25, which is a pretty good deal. I mean, how many of you have ever been to Wonders of Wildlife and the aquarium and all that? Can you get in for $25? No, you can't. You can't get in for $25, but we're going to get in for $25. So, yeah, that's a pretty good deal. It's a great place for kids to hang out during the week. We also have the summer after summer school program that's going to be starting up pretty soon. That's going to be in line with Conway Schools. That's going to be at the Bears Den, and then we have summer camps. And I have a flyer on the back table right now with all of that information. So, what can you take with you to hand out to people that you know today that have kids? VBS flyers, and we've got Bears Den flyers with a bunch of information on it. We also have the summer family nights coming up as well. All of this will come out on slides soon, as soon as I have a chance to get them made and put them into the thing. But I wanted to let you know about all of that going on at the Bears Den. Yes. That's right. So they don't even have to be from the Conway School Districts or Jolie Barber or anything like that. They can come from Timbuktu or wherever else. It doesn't matter. They can even come from Albuquerque. Yep. We have youth camp coming up. I didn't replay that video. Y'all have seen it a few times by now. Unfortunately, the audio didn't work last week. Hey, it worked this week. So Elise Wood is going to be our speaker for that week. It's May 29th through June 1st. So any students that would like to go, I'd love to fill up that van and have to take a second. That would be awesome. Warriors at the Well. meeting tonight. You were on a one day hiatus yesterday or last Sunday because of Easter, but you guys pulled together last week, and it was last week, even though technically it was Saturday, it's still last week, to pull off some amazing fundraising at the school, providing food for the glow up night. Did I get that right? Yeah, thanks to everyone who came and helped out and provided food for those kids there. Boys, was it fun? Well, Malachi had fun anyway. You got to go outside? Color dust. Wow. I'm glad I avoided that. All right. So I want to encourage you, if you're a woman and you want to be a part of the group, please, please come. It's pretty amazing. They're doing stuff in the community and reaching out to folks. How many folks do you think you saw last night? Two hundred people? Yeah, 200 people. That's a pretty cool outreach right there. Especially in a town of only, what, 700? Yeah. So, well, we have to add Phillipsburg in there too, so 1,500. That's still pretty good. It's a pretty good number of a percentage of folks. Not to mention, we were very limited on who we could get. It had to be women with children that are in the elementary school. So that's pretty cool because that's a fairly small population of folks. But that is awesome that we were able to reach those folks and we were able to talk with them. Hand them out some flyers for what's going on this summer and things like that. I keep telling people, can you believe it? It's almost summer. We just started spring, and I'm like already in summer mode in my brain. All right, divorce care. Well, it got interrupted last week, slightly. Something about a tornado or something. I don't know about you, but I was in a shelter during this time. So we'll try again tomorrow night. That's the wonderful thing about divorce care. I love how flexible everyone has been and how amazing it's been so far. I've been hearing great stories, so not detailed stories, but that's okay. I don't need to know detailed stories. So anyway, I'm rabbit trailing. So do we have any soap journals left? They are gone. So I need to get more soap journals. Who still needs a soap journal? Nobody. Great. I'll just order a few. We have Baptism Sunday next Sunday. We have 3 people getting baptized next Sunday. That's pretty cool. So next Sunday, and there's going to be lunch afterwards. There is a sign-up on the back table. Really simple yellow piece pad of paper. What we're asking is if you will be willing to please, since this is a potluck, if you could please bring a side dish or dessert, that would be great. But if you could sign up in the back so we know who's bringing what, that'd be awesome. We want to make sure there's enough food here because that would be tragic if there's not. So if you could, back table, yellow pad of paper, just sign up and say, you know, Scott Bierman bringing flash fried kale or whatever. Yes, that'd be good too. So, all right. Well, if you'd like to follow along with the service on the Faith Life Study Bible app, you may do so at this time, and we will be starting up our sermon here in a second. But kids, it is time to go. You guys can head on back to the kids' church area, and it is actually BGMC Sunday. I tell you what, I love turning in the offering from BGMC Sunday because that bag is so heavy. It's full of coins, I get that, but I'm like, this is kind of cool. That was one of my favorite things as a children's pastor was doing BGMC. We used to do this thing with the scale where it was boys versus girls. So it'd be kind of cool if we could get to that point again where we have enough boys and girls we can start doing the scale again. That was so fun. Anyway, So anyway, Abigail, if you could help me out this morning, almost this afternoon, but not yet. We're going to collect up tithes and offerings, and our wonderful Vanna Abbey is going to help us out this morning. I just heard that Pat Sajak has taped his last show for the Wheel of Fortune. So he's finally retiring. Yeah, there's brownies in the back if you want some. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for the giving hearts of everyone that's here that you've provided in such a way that we are able to not only live and survive, but we can thrive, God. And I pray that everyone in this room will know that they can test you and see that you're good, that they can trust you with who you are and all that you do, and that your provision is what you give us. And all you ask in return is what you've commanded us to give, God. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. Amen. All righty. We're back. We're back to Titus. So I want to thank everyone for holding tight until we got here. That's the last time I'll tell that joke, Michelle, I promise. Until the next one. So we're going to pick up where we left off. We've been talking about the book of Titus and how it's a letter to all believers, and not just to some folks, not just to pastors, because what they were talking about in this whole thing, as we're finding out, is that what Titus is being charged to do is to find leaders. And what makes the leaders who they are is by their character and by where they are in their relationship with God. But the idea is that everyone was supposed to be striving for this. Okay? Does that make sense? So it's really a how-to letter for everyone. Anyway, if you've missed any of these, I would encourage you to go back on Facebook and check out some of these other messages that we've done in this series. It's been pretty cool. But let's go ahead and read what we have today. We're in Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. It says this: "Remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. They must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. Once we too were foolish and disobedient, we were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out that Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to insist on these teachings so that all who trust in God will devote themselves to doing good. These teachings are good and beneficial for everyone. Do not get involved in foolish discussions about spiritual pedigrees or in quarrels and fights about obedience to Jewish laws. These things are useless and a waste of time. If people are causing division among you, give a first and second warning, and after that, have nothing more to do with them. For people like that have turned away from the truth, and their own sins condemn them." Lord Jesus, we thank you for the word of God today. Please illuminate our hearts tonight with the words that you've given me, God, in your name. Amen. So this passage is a little challenging for us. Paul is giving us some clear instructions here about a lot of different things, but he also gives us justification for those instructions. But before I go much deeper into that, I'm going to ask some questions. This one's going to be weird. This is going to be an interesting question. Here you go. You ready? Do you trust the government? Do you trust the government? Oh, my. Should you? Oh. Should you trust the government? I knew this one was going to be a tough one today for folks, because I've spoken to most of you, and I kind of have an idea of where, like, politically you guys all kind of fall on the spectrum of things and all that. But I was like, wow, this is going to be a fun one, God. Thank you, because we're picking up right where we left off here. So I thought that was a perfect question. Do you trust the government? Yeah. So is it ever good? Is it ever okay to speak badly about other people? Is it ever okay to speak badly about other people? Wow, it's a lot more quiet on that one than I expected. But he didn't speak badly about him, did he? Well, what I mean by badly, let me clarify that. Is it ever okay to tell lies about other people? Is it ever okay to speak about other people when you don't know the truth about it? Oh. Is it ever okay to pass judgment upon someone that you don't actually have the full facts of the case? Huh, interesting. Have you ever acted like a fool? I'm seeing some of this. Have you ever acted a fool? I should have written it like that. Have you ever acted a fool? Because that's how I used to say it when I was younger. You acting a fool. Why are you acting a fool? You never knew that about me, did you? I was a rude kid. I was a weird kid. We were all weird kids. Weren't we all weird kids? Be honest with me here. You know, we're weird adults too sometimes. Have you ever acted like a fool? Cool. Thanks. I'm glad I'm not the only one. So we're going to be talking about some stuff today that is a little more interesting. And in some countries, honestly, I could probably be thrown in jail for some of the stuff we're about to say today. But we live in America, so thank you, America, that we are able to have the First Amendment and be able to talk about things and talk about the government and all this other fun stuff. Well, Facebook might. So Facebook overlords, hello. I know you're listening to the sermon. Listen to the end of it. You might actually be changed. All right, I love how Paul starts this letter, okay? This little chapter here, this is a letter, and I love how he puts this. He says, remind the believers. Remind the believers. So Paul is literally saying, remember. Remember. That is hard. As I'm getting older, and my kids have seen this, my wife has seen this, it frustrates people, I know. I have difficulty remembering things. Sometimes within the span of the same 10 minutes, I tend to forget stuff. What are we supposed to remember? When we remember something, it's because it happened before. Or something was said before, leading to something we were supposed to remember. I was supposed to remember to create a sign-up sheet for the potluck. I forgot, so my wife got a notebook. My helpmate helped me. I really think that when God made Adam was made, he was like the perfect person. And then God took the brain out. I think that rib was the part that was connected to the brain. And so when he took that rib out and made Eve, he took the best parts. And that's why God says that the woman's supposed to be the helpmate, because, well, he took the best parts out of us. But we complement each other, too. Anyway, that's a bunny trail. So what happens when we are reminded of something? Usually it's because we forgot it in the first place. When we're told to remind the believers. I don't know about you, but I often have memory problems, and this simple command, remember, is sometimes pretty hard for me. But what are we supposed to remember? Are you ready? This is what we are supposed to remember. I'm going to sit back down for this one in case I fall down or someone throws something at me. All right. It says, remember the believers, remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. They must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. How many of y'all are on edge right now? Because you're like, what does the government have to do with all that? It said submit to the government. Submit to the government. Only if I like it? No. Submit to its officers only if I voted for them? No. We're supposed to be obedient only to what's good? Yes. Ah. So what do we do if the government or its officers are not good? Wait. Do we feel, let's take a poll in the room. Do you feel like the government and its officers are sometimes not so good? Like they make some poor decisions sometimes. Right? So what do? The Bible says we are not to slander anyone and avoid quarreling. We're supposed to be gentle. And show what? True humility to everyone except the government and its officers? No, everyone. Oh, this one's hard. All right, so let's look at some key terms here, okay? I wanted to help define what we're talking about, okay? So we're going to talk about obedient. Obedient or complying is complying or willing to comply with orders or request, submissive to another's will. Okay? I literally pulled these out of the dictionary. It's a really boring thing for me to do, but hey, this helps us to understand what's going on here. Slander is when we make false and damaging statements about someone. Wait. What was the little word? There's a little three-letter word between false and damaging. What is it? And. So is it slander if it's true and damaging? No. Only if it's false and damaging, right? Like if I said, Abigail never cleans her feet. What? Ever. That would be slander because she does clean her feet. But because I said that, and it's a false statement, and it could be damaging because feet be stinky, that could hurt her reputation, right? That was a nice thing we could say. But what would be some slanderous things we could say about the government? Wait, we won't go there. All right. Quarreling is having heated arguments or disagreements. Ooh. This is like that Thanksgiving table discussion. Does this mean we can't have a disagreement with someone? Does it mean that we can't disagree with other people? No. It means having a heated argument and disagreement. And it's talking about the government. Gentle. Is having or showing mild, kind, or tender temperament or character. Ooh. Do we want to be gentle about the government? Or gentle to the government? Humility is a modest or low view of one's own importance. This is one of those where I'm like, yeah, thanks God, you gave me this one on an election year. What I find interesting about this passage is that it takes two issues, slander and quarreling, and shuts them down with the command to be gentle. We can't make false or damaging statements about someone if we're being gentle. But the Bible didn't leave us there. It adds that we're also to be humble, emphasizing our obedience. But yet, the Bible tells us to be obedient, gentle, and humble to who? Specifically, the government and its authorities. You think that's hard now? Imagine being a Christian during the time of Nero. At least your government's not out to throw you into a Colosseum to be killed by lions. Just saying, it could be a lot worse. The proper attitude towards the secular rulers and authorities is submission, obedience, and readiness to do whatever is good. The fact that obedience is mandated and mentioned separately from submission indicates that not all submission requires obedience. One's civic obligations to secular authorities are a staple of the ancient household codes that we've been talking about. Being ready to do whatever is good, it's kind of cliche. But why? Titus 3, 3-7 says this, "Once we too were foolish and disobedient." Ah, there it is. Because we all want to make fun of the government sometimes, and here it is. The government sometimes is also pretty foolish and disobedient. Disobedient to who? God. And they're foolish because, well, they be foolish. It means we need to submit to them, not that we have to always be obedient because they're not doing what's good. Sometimes they're just being stupid. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures, just like folks in the government. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. You mean I have to be kind and gentle to the people over me in government and so on and so forth? Because I've also been a fool and an idiot and God saved me anyway? Yeah. Yeah. This one hurts my, like, American rebel spirit, you know? I want to be, like, rebellious and be like, ah, but this, that, and the other thing. I want to go, like, protest something or, you know, whatever. But when you read stuff like this, it kind of puts a few things in perspective, doesn't it? What is good? What is right? What is civil? Look, I'm as red-blooded as any American that you'll find. I carry a handgun. I vote a certain way, which I can't say from the pulpit because the government won't let me, and I'm going to submit to that. My other job that I do is involved in a profession that I'm not allowed to overtly share my faith. And I've done that before. When I was in the Army, it was the same thing. I couldn't overtly share my faith there either. I didn't think it was right. I'm sitting here going, well, that's taking away my freedom of speech. I can't have my own freedom of speech or freedom of religion. My religion specifically says, go and teach what God has taught me. Well, what did he teach you? We were to behave a certain way because God has given us mercy. Because once we were foolish and disobedient, we once lived in a way that was a mess and full of all kinds of sin, but God still saved us. And we're saved not because of anything that we've done, but because of his mercy. So we're to show mercy too, right? Verses 8 and 9 says this. This is a trustworthy saying. And I want you to insist on these teachings so that all who trust in God will devote themselves to doing good. These teachings are good and beneficial for everyone. Do not get involved in foolish discussions about spiritual pedigrees or in quarrels and fights about obedience to the Jewish laws. These things are useless and a waste of time. Scripture goes on to emphasize that what it says is trustworthy. Do you believe that the Word of God is trustworthy? Do you believe that this passage that I'm reading right now is trustworthy? Have you ever heard this passage before? Well, we are to devote ourselves to doing good, despite the fools and the disobedient people around us or over us. On top of that, we're to avoid getting into foolish discussions about and fights about obedience to Jewish laws. What Paul is getting at is this. Controversies are to be avoided. Not only are they useless and a waste of time, this is what was told to us. And they are. They really are useless and a waste of time. This is something that Paul said in another letter. He said in 2 Timothy 2:23, he said, "Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights." See, in Titus, when we were discussing these topics, like the Jewish laws and all this other stuff, they would get into big arguments, and they would find out that, amazingly, after these arguments, no one had really changed their mind. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever gotten to a really, like, angry, in-depth fight argument with someone? Ever? I mean, like, real, like, knock-down, drag-out fight. I used to in sixth grade. I'd win some and I'd lose some. I was a rough kid back then. But guess what? Whether I won or lost, nobody changed their mind. Maybe someone was more afraid of you or didn't want to mess with you. Or now you were that crazy guy or that crazy girl and nobody wanted to mess with you anymore. But does that really help the cause of Christ? When was the last time you brought someone to Jesus because you yelled and screamed at them and tried to make your point? It's kind of foolish and unproductive, isn't it? No one's ever been convinced to change their life for Christ by a foolish argument or fights about doctrine or the law of God. No one has come to Jesus because of yelling and quarreling or by fights. In fact, we have a church history full of moments where we would go to war to try to bring people to Jesus. Convert or die. We figured out real quick that doesn't actually change hearts. Not quickly enough, though. Millions of people died. Aren't you glad we don't do that anymore? Yeah. There's another religion out there doing that now. They're not convincing anyone either. You don't fight your way into the kingdom of God, nor are you going to be able to beat or be beaten into it. Paul goes on further. He says, if people are causing divisions among you, give a first and second warning, and after that have nothing more to do with them. For people like that have turned away from the truth, and their own sins condemn them. We're to turn away from people who cause divisions. What kind of divisions? Folks in the church that cause quarrels among believers? Folks in the church that do not submit to leadership, whether that leadership is from the government or from the church. Folks that regularly break the law. Folks who slander. Folks who are not gentle. Folks who do not do good. The Bible goes as far as to say that these people are so far gone that they are warped and sinful. Have you ever tried to build something with a warped piece of wood before? It doesn't work. It has no place in a building. You throw it away and throw it into the fire because all it's good for is firewood anymore. I want you to think of that image warped. I got a 2x4 once, and it started this way, and then it just kind of bent and went out this way on the other side. I couldn't do a thing with it. I threw the thing into a burn barrel because I couldn't do anything with it. These people have turned away from the truth, and their sins will condemn them. It's not that grace and mercy can't be extended to them, and we should extend grace and mercy to them. Even if they're warped and lost and confused and all this other stuff. That's what we got out here, folks, is warped, lost, and confused people, right? And we extend God's grace to them and God's mercy to them and God's love to them, because the reality is we want them to not be so warped and crazed and confused and lost. C.S. Lewis put something interesting in here. You remember, you know who C.S. Lewis is? He was the writer of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. He had a statement. Someone once asked him why some non-Christians were nicer than Christians. You ever met folks like this? Christians that are mean, but non-Christians that are nice? I'm telling you, they're out there. And this is what he said. A Christian woman he calls Miss Bates may have an unkinder tongue than unbelieving Dick Furkin. But what would Mrs. Bates' tongue would be like if she were not a Christian? Further, Dick's placid temper and friendly disposition results from natural causes which God himself creates. No one can be saved by natural goodness, and those who have trusted in God should do what is good. Therefore, that includes Mrs. Bates' use of her tongue. This is all paraphrased. Ephesians 3:10-11 puts it this way. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom and its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Doing what good is related to the display of a change of character, it's related to how your life has changed over and against the character of the opponents of the gospel. Let me clarify that. Doing good puts the people who don't like God in their place. Living a good life, showing the goodness of God through your life, shuts them up quick. When I was a kid, my parents once told me, I think it was my parents or my children's pastor, I don't remember, it was a long time ago, the whole remember thing again. But I used to get into fights when I was in fifth and sixth grade. It was bad. It was like a habit for me, because I found that if I would win fights, that I would like, people would respect me more, and I wanted to be respected by my peers. Like, fear was, that would be kind of fun. I wasn't a bully, I was a nerd. So I was kind of like receiving bullying, but I would fight back against the bullies. And then someone told me once, he said, Scott, what if next time someone does that to you and try to goads you into a fight and you give them a compliment? People can't fight people who compliment them. It'll really confuse the tar out of them. And I thought, well, that's stupid. I was a sixth grader. Come on. I mean, I was a fool. But here's the thing. What if we do have a government that is combative against us? But we do good. Did you know that even during the Roman times, they couldn't find anything wrong to charge Christians with because they hadn't broken the law? Nero set fire to Rome so he could blame it on Christians, and that's what led to having so many Christians killed. I know someone right now who's doing wonderful ministry in China. working in the government schools to teach English in the government schools. They know they're working with a Christian organization. And guess what? They want that Christian organization to come in and work with their teachers and teach English because they do a better job than everyone else. And guess what? Hundreds of people are getting saved in China because of their work. Amen, right? And guess who's paying for it? The communist government of China. If we do good, people, even the worst governments that you can think of will be, they can't not only not say anything against us, they'll end up funding it. Wouldn't that be cool? The Bear's Den right now exists because Life 360 Community Services feeds Jolie Barber every single school day. The rent for the Bear's Den gets paid because of Life 360 Community Services. Do you know who pays for Life 360 Community Services? It's not you and me. It's the government. We are reaching people in our community because we're doing a good thing in conjunction with the government. And yeah, I have my frustrations about that whole program because there's so many things that I'm like, man, I just wish that they would, that the government would just do better because they're just not. But they're still there and they just keep going. And by the grace of God, we still have the Bear's Den and everything keeps happening. And we have events there. We have people paying for parties to use the space as an event space. We get to meet people that we don't get to meet on Sunday morning because, I don't know, 10:45 is too early? I don't get it. I really don't. But I'm like, you know, whatever it is, they'll come there, but they won't come here. So we get to meet people there and share Christ over there. It's an amazing, wonderful thing. It's just an address shift. That's all it takes sometimes. But that means we have to have a change of character. Things in our life have to be good. And we can't just be good in public. We have to be good in private. We have to have right characters. We have to have a right character. There's always going to be people in the community that reject God. That's no excuse for the church to be a place that simply prays only for one another's problems or debates the last days or does all these things that we really kind of like insular folks like to do sometimes. Those things have their place for sure, but they should never, ever, 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 ever replace our immense strides into our community and witnessing to them. I can tell you right now, folks, whenever that happens, whenever we become insular and looking towards ourselves, we will lose this church. It happens every time. We need to talk about spiritual climate in our community, but not in how it's so horrible, but how it can be changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how the people need it. And how we're going to get it to them. We don't need to go across an ocean for missions when we've got the lost and broken people right outside those double doors right there. That's how people are changed. It's the people of God, you and me, not only living out our life as we are supposed to be doing, as we've been commanded to do, but we have to live our life in a way that we're always doing the next right thing. the next good thing. We have to have character. That is how the story of this community is changed. And a changed life has immense power. Abby's going to come up here in a second. We're going to sing one more song tonight. One more song today. And I want to encourage you that as we're singing this song, I want you to focus on the Holy Spirit. I want you to focus on the presence of God. His presence that changes our lives. His presence that impacts us. Because the reality is we have broken pieces in us that need to be mended by Him. We have to get to the point where we are healed so that what comes out of us is healing. If you'll stand with me today.
Just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sing another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forget that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence. I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never wanna leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. nothing else. Nothing else will do. Oh, I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. Oh, I just want you.
Prepares us to go into the world and to see people and to share the gospel and to live our life and to do that next right thing is to spend time in the presence of God every single day. When Paul is talking about being submissive to the government and being obedient, when he's talking about being kind and all these other things, church, it goes beyond that. It goes beyond the scope of the government. It goes beyond the scope of all of these systems that we fall under or authorities we come under, whatever authority it is. It goes beyond all of that. And it just, it's every part of your life. Finding a way in every aspect of your life to do the next right thing. To do the next good thing. To do the next kind thing. The next gentle thing. The next humble thing. That's a change. That's a change for all of us. And it's not just a change of your actions, it's a change of your character. So let me pray for you today. Let me pray for all of us that God will begin to shape our character. Lord God, I pray today. I think you got it square on the nose when you told us in your scripture within the context of government. Lord, we often feel like things are foolish or evil or whatever from that area of our lives. But the reality is there's so much more in our lives that is evil, is wrong. We see injustices happening all over the place. And we want to get angry. We want to fight. We want to argue. Because that's what we naturally do, God. That's who we are as human beings, is we're aggressive and we fight and we do all these things. And the reality is you've called us to something completely different. You called us to be gentle. You've called us to be humble. You called us to be submissive. You called us to do the next good thing. Jesus, that early church must have gotten something right. Because when they followed that command, your gospel spread throughout an empire. God, we want the gospel to spread in our community. We want people coming into your presence that have never been there before. And I pray, Lord God, that you will change our character into the kind of people that we need to be. Mold our church into who we need to be, so that we can continue to do the next good thing. It's not about the money. It's not about the attendance. It's about bringing glory to God and continuing to show his love. It's not about being okay with evil or lies. We can fight for the truth. But we fight for the truth through doing good, not through doing evil. We fight for the truth through love. And Lord, I pray that you would help us find how that's done in all of our interactions every single day, God. In your name, amen. You guys, have an amazing week. God is going to do some awesome things in your lives this week.